Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Amen. 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 I read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 22. Father, we thank you for dying on Calvary's cross. We thank you, Father God, for allowing them to put you in a bald grave. But Father, most of all, we thank you, Father God, for not staying in that grave, amen, for coming out of that grave, Father God, for rising up on the third day with all power, Father God, and you become the first fruit. You become the first one to do it. And it's so important that you did it, because you did it, we know we can do it too. Father God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What a wonderful text. What a wonderful text. I've just found a new favorite text to add to my list. But I believe in the resurrection.
Amen.
I believe that Jesus Christ not only died for our sins, but he rose from the grave. And folks, you have to believe that. Okay? There's no wiggle room in that. There's no getting around that. You have to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the grave, or you do not qualify.
Amen.
You cannot say, well, I'm a Christian. And folks, listen, I've told you this over and over and over. Research, Barna research studies have shown that 60% of preachers, clergy, men of God don't believe in the resurrection. Don't believe in the resurrection. The resurrection is big. It's big. Okay? It's big. Dave was talking. He when he was praying, he quoted the scripture. He didn't quote it all the way. He normally does, but he left out something. But I'm going to read it. Romans 10:9. Watch this now. Watch this. Romans 10:9. This is big, and I'm going ahead. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, okay? Then I believe Jesus Christ is God's son.
Amen.
And shall believe in thy heart. Okay? Believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Okay? It's not enough to believe that Jesus Christ. Okay? Demons believe that.
Amen.
Muslims believe Jesus Christ. He's a good teacher, whatever. Okay? The Mormons believe, all the folks, I believe Jesus Christ. He was a good teacher. He was a good man. If that's all he was, then you're saying he was a liar. He was a fool. And he was something was wrong with him. If that's all you believe, because if you believe all that, you have to believe this, that he rose from the dead.
Amen.
Have to believe it. He rose from the dead. That's big. Imagine this. I heard preachers say this. Imagine, and I'll use this. You got March Madness going on, okay? And you got March Madness going on, and they golfing down in Florida. They golfing down in Florida, okay? They teeing it up. Imagine this. All them folks show up for the basketball game. And the teams is warmed all up, and they there. They getting ready to play. And there are no balls. That's your salvation without the resurrection. Okay? You all warmed up and you ready to play, and then they got teed all up, and somebody said, where's the balls? Amen. See? Amen. See? And I was going to use boxing in an illustration and say, where's the gloves? But now they fight without gloves, so call it MMA, something crazy like that. But you understand what I'm saying? You can't play this Christian game without the resurrection. Okay? And I'm not saying it like it's a game. You can't be saved without the resurrection. It's that big, and our text bears it out. And Paul, really, Paul talks about seven things that happens, seven things that's not true if there's no resurrection. And we went through, the text. He says this. Now, if Christ be preached, okay? And you can't even preach Christ without the resurrection. Amen. Okay? Mm-hmm. All your preaching is without the resurrection, your preaching is nothing. So, but Paul says this. If Christ be preached, that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? See what happens? See what happens? You got a culture church. See? This is a Corinthian church. This was a compromising church. This was a church that was playing by its own rules. Okay? It was a man-centered church, a man-centered worship, and they allowed the world to come in, and now the world don't want to believe in the resurrection. Okay? You start talking about someone, telling somebody you got to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead to be saved, and they're going to sit here and balk at it. Okay? Why? Because the world can't believe that. By faith are you saved? Through grace. Okay? You can't believe the word of God without faith. And it takes faith to believe that Jesus Christ died and rose. And Paul said here, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? He starts it off, verse 13. Is Christ not risen? What happens if Christ is not risen? If Christ is not risen, what are we doing? What are we doing? If Christ is not risen, and he just came and died like anybody else, came and died like Buddha, came and died like Muhammad, came and died like Joseph Smith, came and died like all the popes, still in the grave. Okay, then we have no hope. Amen. Of eternal life. Amen. I sit here and wasting my time on Friday doing Dave's eulogies, talking about heaven, talking about getting ready to go to heaven. Because if Christ is not risen, there ain't no heaven. Amen. There ain't no heaven. Amen. There ain't no hell. Uh-huh. The word of God is void. It's a waste. I'm wasting my time. I'm sitting here and wasting my time. All the funerals and eulogies I've done, talking to people about the things of God. If Christ not risen, if Christ be not risen, verse 14, then here's the second point. Our preaching vain. Amen. Vain means meaningless. Mm-hmm. Nothingness. Empty. Empty preaching. No, we get a lot of that. But if they take the resurrection out, our preaching is vain. And you know what else is vain? Your faith is vain. Your faith is vain. Your faith is vain. Your ability to think and believe the things of God is out the window. Means nothing. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain? And your faith is vain. Let me tell you something. For by grace are you saved. How? Through faith. Through faith. And that faith is based on the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the grave. And if he has not risen, then where is our faith? Where is our faith? What is faith? There's no such thing as faith if Jesus has not risen from the grave. You understand that? When I was talking about the multitude of preachers out there that don't believe in the resurrection, They don't want to talk about the resurrection. Why? Because it's something supernatural. Something supernatural has to happen to you for you to be able to believe that.
Amen.
Okay? And if something supernatural hasn't happened, you have no reason to believe that. Because it sounds foolish. You believe somebody born of a virgin. Yes, foundational truth.
Amen.
Okay? Okay? Lived a sinless life. 33 and a half years, never committed a sin. Yes, takes faith to do that. Now, he was crucified on a cross, okay? And taken off that cross, put into a tomb, and then on the third day, he rose.
Amen.
Wow. Wow. It takes all that to be a Christian. Oh, shit. Yes, it does.
Amen.
Yes, it does.
Amen.
Yes, it does. See, then why people say, oh, listen, that's too much. That's too much. That's why it's a narrow road that leads to heaven, and few be that find it.
Amen.
Or few be on that road. See, we got this 8-lane highway on the way to heaven. Well, half the folks on the road don't believe in the resurrection, don't believe in the crucifixion, don't believe in the virgin birth. And they on their way to heaven. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You need to open your Bibles. Open your Bibles and get on your knees and ask God, give me the faith to believe.
Amen.
Okay? Give me the faith to believe in the resurrection. Give me the faith to believe in the virgin birth. Give me the faith to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
Who is the spotless, sinless Lamb of God.
Amen.
Help my unbelief. Yea, and we are our found false witnesses for God. How about that? Doesn't that be painful? For years of studying and school and preaching and preparing sermons and pleading with people to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Plead with folks, trying to live the best life we can and trying to represent God. And there's no resurrection. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. Know what they say? Liars.
Amen.
Liars.
Uh-huh.
What Paul would say. Look at what Paul would say. 1 Corinthians. I'm going to turn here. This is fascinating. Paul, we know Paul went through a lot. Paul went through a lot. And you bear with me because I know I've covered this before, but it's just fascinating for me to read. Paul saying that if Christ is not risen, then my preaching is vain. I'm a false witness. My faith is dead. You mean tell me that as an apostle, okay, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 11, here's Paul. Here's Paul's story. Here's Paul's testimony. And here's what Paul went through for the Lord. And somebody is saying, Paul, you did all that for nothing. Because Christ isn't risen. Verse 23, he said, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors and abundant and stripes above measures and prisons more frequently and deaths often of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, say one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep and journeyings off in perils of waters and perils of robbers and perils by my own countrymen and perils of the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among my false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, and fasting and cold and nakedness, and besides these things that are without, that's what cometh to me daily, the care of the churches.
Amen.
Paul said all that out the window.
Uh-huh.
If there's no resurrection. If there's no resurrection, Paul, just wasted all your life lying to folks about a Christ that came and died and rose. Listen, I'm keep going in verse 16. I'm going to open this up a little bit more. For if the dead rise not, about that. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ risen. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. And you are in your sins. Let me tell you something. Y'all know I love John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But if there's no resurrection, there's no everlasting life. Okay? If there's no resurrection, there's no everlasting life. And when you ride down Oak Street Extension, either way you go, you see them raccoons on the road and deer on the road. That's all we going to be. This, but all we just go to the fancy casket. We just put us in a fancy casket. That's all.
Yep.
And we're not coming out of that ground. We just die down there and rot away. If there's no resurrection, we ain't no different than them animals on the side of the road. We no different. We just pay a lot of money to lay on the side of the road. Listen, folks. If there's no resurrection, there's no born again. There's nobody being born again without no resurrection, okay? This is serious stuff. When we talk about the resurrection season, it's more than bunnies, jelly beans. And y'all know I love jelly beans. Okay, I love this time of year because jelly beans everywhere. But it's more than that. It's more than rabbits. It's more than Easter bunnies. And I ain't against all that. I think it's all wonderful. I think it all gives me something to work with because it's that time of season. But listen, listen. Keep going with this, Pastor. He says, he said, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Okay? I covered that a little bit. We just did Big Dave's funeral. We talked about him loving the Lord, loving the church, supported the church, love reading the Bible, love studying and coming to Bible study and Sunday school. All waste of time. All waste of time because he died and perished if there's no resurrection. In verse 19, and if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we don't see the future, we don't see heaven, we don't see the glories of heaven, we have no hope of heaven if there's no resurrection. We are all men most miserable. How about that? All men most miserable. Colossians 3, one great verse in the Bible, talks about us being born again and what happens. And Paul writes to the Colossians because Paul believed in the resurrection. Paul would be one to say, I believe in the resurrection. I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God who died for our sins and rose. And now he's teaching these Colossian believers. And he says in Colossians 3 and 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth. On the right hand of God, set your affections on the things above, not on the things of this earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Amen.
Listen, folks. Paul couldn't teach that if there was no resurrection, because he couldn't teach a risen Savior. We couldn't sing the song. When we sing the song, I serve a risen Savior. Okay? Couldn't sing it. There's no resurrection. There's no resurrection. Now, Paul, again, over and over, talks about it. He says there's going to come a time. And there's folks right now not teaching the resurrection. They didn't teach it in Paul's day. This is not something new. And I tell anybody, if you go to a church, you think about joining a church, you think about, say you move, say Dave, for whatever reason, move to Florida. God forbid. But if he does, and you ask your pastor, you go to church, hey, pastor, what do you think about the resurrection? That's got to be huge.
Yeah.
That's got to be big. Well, listen, I believe in the resurrection. What if you say, well, you know, because a lot of them would tiptoe around it because they don't know where the guy's at. And they don't want to lose him. So they don't know if he's a guy that believes in the resurrection or not. So instead of staying strong and firm, they just tiptoe around it. Well, you know, the Bible does teach the resurrection, but... No. Can you be saved without believing the resurrection, Pastor? Well, you know. No. Well, I don't want to be judgmental, like the smiley preacher says. Well, you know, if a Jew comes to you and says, I don't believe in Jesus Christ, can he go to heaven? Well, Larry, I don't want to be judgmental. You're not being judgmental. You're standing on the Word of God.
Amen.
You're not being judgmental when you're standing on God's word. You can't go to heaven if you don't believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the grave. Period.
Amen.
You know, I'm not. You judgmental? No, I'm not.
Amen.
I don't want to give false hope to a Muslim. I don't want to give false hope to anybody who don't believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the grave. You don't believe that, you can't go to heaven, period.
Amen.
And that ain't being judgmental, okay? Amen. Until you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the grave. Well, you know, I believe Jesus and, you know, I believe that. No, that's not the question. See? Uh-huh. See, we so scared of people.
Uh-huh.
Listen, folks, Christianity ain't for scaredy cats.
Amen.
Okay? These folks died because they believed in the resurrection. That's the only reason they cut off their heads and they slaughtered them. They slaughtered Christians because they stood on the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the grave.
Amen.
Okay? Listen to what Paul would say. Think about it. Somebody come to you and say, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I believe in the resurrection or not. Paul says this. He says, now we command you, 2 Thessalonians 3:6.
Talking about resurrection.
Talking about resurrection. Because it was big. He said, now we command you. Now, you know, how many have been commanded to do something? Okay. Now, I know we live in a day and age where the police pull you over. You just keep driving. You know, you just keep driving. You know, you don't even, the lights come on behind you, just keep driving. And then you get out of there and they stop. Finally stop. Yeah, you don't even stop me for it. You only stop me because I'm black. You know, whatever. You come up with it. Ah, you only stop. What are you stopping me for? We got so much. We in the age of lawlessness. Okay? Now here's a command coming from the word of God. Now we command you, brother, people of God, people who believe in the resurrection. Can't be a brethren. Can't be a sister. Okay? You can't be a brethren. You can't be a brethren if you don't believe in the resurrection. Am I making sense, Matthew? Okay? Yeah. You can be my brother. Hit the rock. Hey, boom, hey, what's up, bro? But you can't be a brethren. Okay? You cannot be a Christian. You cannot be born again if you don't believe in a resurrection. That's why this is. That's why this time of year is so big.
Amen.
And why this time of year, people are going to come out with movies and you're going to hear all kinds of theories. Well, we found the body and Jesus didn't rise, was on the grave. It's that time of year. Okay, it's coming. Why? Because the world knows if you can disprove the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Christianity is done. And if somebody came to me and proved to me without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, I will close up the Bible.
Uh-huh.
I will shed it and never read it again because it is a fake book. And I'll go back probably to reading Sports Illustrated or something like that. It'll be the same thing. Make it sense.
Amen.
Okay? Now listen. Now we command you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, Lord Jesus Christ, you know what you can almost add in there automatically? Who rose from the dead. Paul not putting, he didn't say just Lord Jesus Christ. He said, brethren, we command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who really what he means, who died for your sins and rose from the grave. Okay? Now let me read it with you knowing that. And every time I read the Lord Jesus Christ, if Paul said it, he means the one who rose from the dead.
Yeah.
Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother. Not brethren, that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. What was the tradition that anybody who was taught by Paul, what was the tradition that they received? That Jesus Christ, you know it, that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead. Paul said, we preach Christ and him crucified. Okay? That's what all he preached. When he got Lydia, when he ran into Lydia, and Lydia was by the water, she was a Jewish proselyte, and she believed that God, that's it. He didn't have no son. Okay? That was it. And the Bible says in Acts, I believe 16 or 13, 16, and when she heard Paul, okay? Well, if she heard Paul, we know what she heard. Because he only preached one thing, okay? He didn't have a buffet of messages. He preached Jesus Christ and him crucified and rose from the dead. Amen. And when she heard Paul, God did what? God opened her heart. God opened her heart, okay, to believe. God gave her the faith to believe, okay? Amen. Listen, folks, if there come any unto you, 2 John 1:10, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Okay? Godspeed means don't give him no encouragement. Tell him you a knucklehead and fool, and I hope a car run you over as soon as you walk down the street. I added that last part. But Paul says, don't give them no encouragement. Don't come in and let these false teachers come into your house. And they can come in by the TV now. And they can come in by the internet now, okay? Uh-huh. All right, they don't have, like back in the day, they knock on your door. Now they can come in. We can get the remote control and bring them all in, okay? And if you like one of them, and there's some good people to come on the radio and the internet. And if you like one of them, just Google search them and ask them what they believe about the resurrection. Stop playing games with them, you know. Do you believe Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the grave? And if they say, yeah, then, you know, hey, that's a start.
Amen.
That's a start. That's a start. But Paul said, don't even allow them into your house if they don't bring this doctrine. What doctrine? Doctrine of resurrection. Okay? Now, I beseech you, brother, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and what? Avoid them. Romans 16:7. And avoid them.
Amen.
Avoid anybody to tell you can be saved without believing in the resurrection. Okay? Avoid anyone to believe, tell you, well, you can be saved. You don't have to believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. You can be saved. But you don't have to believe that Jesus Christ was crucified and died on the cross. You don't have to believe that he died on the cross. You know, there's a swoon theory. He just fell asleep. Hey, let me tell you something, folks. Let me tell y'all something, okay? Better wake up. Now, I know I heard somebody in here say, I ain't gonna mention her name. And say, well, you know, it's good and all of it. You know, just take the meat and leave the bone. Let me tell you something. There's a lot on the bone. Some people put the bone in and use it for stew. Okay? You gotta wash them bones.
Amen.
Okay? Because usually, we talk about one of the crumbs, you know, and then crumbs versus bones. What's the difference? Okay? You gotta wash the bones. You gotta wash the bones. You gotta wash the bone. They don't take the meat and throw away the bone. Let me tell you something. But that meat came off that bone.
Amen.
And if that bone didn't believe in the resurrection,
amen,
that meat ain't gonna be no good.
Amen.
Okay? If the bone don't believe in the resurrection, the meat can't be good. Uh-huh. If the bone is bad. Okay? My farmer buddies would tell me, they say, listen. If a deer hits your car, if a deer run into the side of the car and break his neck, then that meat good. Okay? You just stop the car, put it in the trunk, and take it to the meat place. But if you hit the deer head on, like I hit the one this year, and hit it head on and hit it in the side, the meat all bad. Got the blood go all through it, it's all bad.
Yep.
See the same thing.
That's right.
See the same thing, you gotta be careful.
Amen.
Be careful with these folks, because Satan has his ministers.
Amen.
Okay? See, Satan ordaining, he ordaining ministers fasting in the churches. He ordaining ministers. He ordaining male ministers, females, homosexuals, lesbians. Everybody can be a minister now. Let me tell y'all something, folks. Satan has his ministers.
Amen.
And here's what the scripture says. They disguise themselves.
Uh-huh.
Okay? They disguise themselves as angels of light. Oh, they so sweet. They nothing like you, Pastor. They so sweet. I like them. They talk so nice. They smile all the time. They kiss the babies. You know, my babies are scared. I can't bring my babies to church with you because you be talking about hell and damnation and fire and brimstone. And my babies be scared.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Poor Ariana. She probably raised up. She going to be tough.
Amen.
Listen, folks. Satan has his ministers. And one of the key ways you will recognize them is you ask them, what do you believe about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Do you think he was God's son? Did he die on the cross? Was he rose? Did he rise from the grave? Let me tell you, they start answering that. That's going to make them sweat. That's going to make them sweat. Listen. Listen. I'll keep going. I know I'm going fast. Watch this. Now, we studied Titus last week, but I have to read this again. And I know we studied it. We spent 4 weeks in Titus. We did four sermons out of Titus. Listen, Titus 2:11. He says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men. Okay? Grace bringeth salvation. It's appeared to all men. Nobody's going to. You will not have an excuse. Okay? Mm-hmm. Okay? Ryan, you will not have an excuse. Okay? Because salvation has appeared to you. Okay? Nobody in here. I don't care who you are. You're going to sit here and say, well, you know, I didn't hear the word good. God ain't putting up with that. Okay? I didn't understand. Listen, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men. What? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldliness, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Now, here's the part about Jesus Christ. Now, remember, this is Paul teaching. So when Paul says Jesus Christ, he means raised for the dead. Looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. He can't appear again if he's still in the ground. He can't come back if he never left the ground.
Amen.
Okay? Okay? Watch this now. Who gave himself for us. I love that. Who gave himself for us. Talking about Jesus Christ. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man or woman despise thee. Despise thee. Folks, listen. Where you at with this resurrection thing? Oh, Pastor, you take it too far. I take everything too far. That's what God do. They've been trying to deny the Lord Jesus for so long. They still doing it. You know what they did when Jesus rose from the grave? And the soldiers they became like dead men. Okay? God didn't kill them. They became like dead men. All right? Now watch what happens in Matthew 28. He says, And now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things they were done. They came and they told the truth. They said the angel showed up and the stone was rolled back and Jesus come up out of there. Okay? They told them all the things they were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, they took them before the elders now and had taken counsel. Watch this now. They gave large money unto the soldiers.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Let me tell y'all something, folks. They're still giving large money to the soldiers. And a lot of the soldiers is in the pulpit. A lot of the soldiers is in the pulpit, and they're getting large money to do what? Not preach the gospel.
That's right.
Not tell the truth. And now, listen, let me tell you something. They gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Now, ain't no soldier, no Roman soldier ever going to admit to sleeping on the job. Okay? We got some soldiers that sleep in church. Okay? But we ain't got no soldiers. No Roman soldier ever going to admit I was sleeping. I work with soldiers, and I work in a prison. And some of the guards nod off, and I've nodded off myself. You know, and they'll come in, and I'll tell them, I say, listen, I was praying. No, I don't say that. Listen, Evelina, she said, I heard you, Evelina. You know about the prison guards working a double. Listen, now, watch this now. They paid him to say the disciples came by night and stole away Jesus while they slept. Now, watch this. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. Well, how are you going to persuade the governor? Y'all live in the Mahoney Valley. Y'all know how these corrupt governors and officials is. They take that money too, okay? I mean, this is all new. Now, watch. It's still going on today. Now, watch this. So they took the money, the soldiers, and they did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Okay?
Okay?
Now, some of y'all, and y'all got y'all little memberships to the Jewish Community Center, which I will not go to, okay? Because I'm not a Jew, and I will not go to the Jewish Community Center, okay? And I won't go to the mosque and work out neither, okay?
Amen.
Now, next time you go to the Jewish community, ask them up front, because they're not going to allow you in there with no pork chops or nothing like that.
Nope.
All right? Ask them about the resurrection. Ask them, what do you believe happened? And them Jewish folks up there will say, you know them disciples stole their body. But that's what they're still teaching. They still deny Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Why? Why do people deny that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Because Jesus is the greatest historical figure that has ever lived.
Amen.
Ever lived. And if he is right, that means 90% of this world is wrong. Okay? And they know it. And they know it. I have so much I can talk to you about. Let me try to cover just a few more things. I want to cover just a few more things. I'm not going to cover that. Not cover that. How about this one?
This is a great story
about the empty tomb. Some of the evidence that we have that Jesus rose. People say, well, you know, you got to give me some evidence. Listen. John 20. I'm just going to read. This is all Easter stories, resurrection stories. John 20 and 1. In the first day of the week, come Mary Magdalene early, yet when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeing the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And she running and coming to tell Peter, Simon Peter, to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, John, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they laid him. And Peter therefore went and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. They running, they getting there. This is something big, okay? So they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping in, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went in not. How do you take the body and the linen clothes still there? That's kind of odd, ain't it? They took the body and the linen clothes are still there. And if you keep reading and studying, they was folded up nice and neat. Okay? Then coming Simon Peter, followed him and went into the sepulchre, and seeing the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothing, but wrapped together in a place by itself. We got that all has meaning. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw, and what? And believed. He saw and believed. Okay? He believed what? He believed what? That Jesus Christ was the Son of God who died for our sins and rose from the grave. He knew nobody took him. He knew nobody took him. Listen, Paul,
in 1 Corinthians 15 and 1,
1 Corinthians 15 and 1, he talks about these folks who seen Jesus. And this is important. Paul talks about the people who seen Jesus, okay? And why God sent out witnesses. This is because he knew the resurrection was going to be refuted. He knew that folks was going to try to disprove it. God, in his omniscience, knew that. Watch this now. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, here's Paul, one of the great texts in the Bible. Got to understand this one. He said, I declare unto you the gospel. Okay? And there's no gospel without the resurrection. Forget it. There's no gospel without the resurrection. The resurrection is the gospel. Take it out, it's over with. Like I said, it's like going to a basketball game and everybody there and nobody brought a ball. Okay? He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Okay? Now he's going to give you a little snapshot of what he preached to him. And this is all Paul preached. This is why you can rest your hat on it. He said, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." Let me stop there for just a second. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. What the scripture said, that he was going to die on a cross between two thieves. One on the left, one on the right. The scripture said that not a bone in his body would be broken. Okay. Now they came to his body. Then the other ones, two had were still alive. They broke their leg. They came to Jesus. He was already dead. What they do? Stuck the thing. Pitchfork, whatever you want to call it. Spear in the side. But watch this now. He says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." Okay. "And that he was buried." Okay? He was buried. What's the point? Let me make sure that y'all understand that he truly rose from the dead. It's that important. That he was buried. Okay? He was buried. He was put in a tomb and they slid the big old stone over, sealed it. Sealed it. And it was heavy. Nobody would have been able to move it by themselves. And I always say, they didn't move the stone. The angels didn't move the stone for Jesus to get out. Okay, I don't want y'all to think the angel had to come and struggle with the stone. Oh, come on out. No. The stone was moved for us. The stone was moved for us. What moved for Jesus? He didn't need the stone move to get out. My mic's off again. Is it off or is it just bail? Okay. Now, verse number 5. Verse number 4, let's finish it. I'm almost done. "And he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." Okay? There's no gospel without a resurrection. Okay? Let's make that clear. There's no gospel without a resurrection. And now he's going to give you some witnesses, some eyewitnesses. There ain't nothing like an eyewitness. Okay? There's nothing like an eyewitness. And watch this now. "And he was seen of Cephas, of the 12. Cephas is who?
Peter.
He was seen of Cephas. And after that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once. Probably went to a church meeting and preached to them. Okay? 500 at once. He talked to them. They have 501 witnesses now that's out there saying, "We seen the risen Savior." Okay? "We seen the risen Savior, and he spoke to us. Of the greater part remain unto this present, but some are falling asleep." After that, he was seen of James and of all the apostles. "And last of all, he was seen of me as one born out of due time." Out of due time. You know what Paul said? Paul was a rebel and a rebellion. Paul was a rebel riser, a troublemaker. And you know what? Paul did not get saved when Jesus was walking the earth. God called Paul. Jesus called Paul from heaven. How about that? One born out of due time. And it was a radical transformation. All the rest of them, Jesus saved. It was peaceful. They were standing at mending their nets at the fish. "Come on, follow me." Matthew sitting at the tax collector booth. "Follow me." And all the ones that he called. But see, some of us got to be called like Paul. Okay? See, some of us got to get the jaws of life to cut us out of a car. And some of us got to be on our deathbed. And some of us got to go through some stuff. Some of us got to go to prison and go to jail. And we got to do all kind of crazy stuff. We can't just be sitting on our nets. See? We got to go the crazy way. Paul's call was radical. And Paul's ministry was radical. Let's talk about this last one. I'm going to let y'all go. I'm still in John. I just want to read some of this. I'm going to read some of this. This is going to be your Bible reading for the day. Okay. John 20, verse 19. We see when he came back, he had to come and see See these disciples and one-on-one there. You know the story. Watch this. He said, then the same evening, being the first day of the week, y'all wonder why we worship on Sunday. When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, then came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be with you. Peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord, or when they saw the risen Savior. Okay? And then Jesus said unto them, again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed the Holy Ghost. He breathed on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. They received the Holy Ghost. Nothing else happened. See, they received the Holy Ghost, and nothing else happened. All right? Some of y'all get that. Mm-hmm. Some of y'all ask me after church. And whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto him, except I see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. I will not believe. That's Thomas. God came back as a God of grace. Into verse 26. Watch this now. I'm going to close. And after 8 days, again, the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. And the doors being shut, stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my sides, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet believe. Folks, listen. Amen. Listen. Without the resurrection, there's no faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to be saved. But your faith has to be based on the work of Jesus. The gospel is the work of Jesus Christ. He died for our sins, and he rose from the grave. You have to believe that. I just have to be dogmatic about it. You have to believe that. Okay, there's a whole lot of folks out here that say they're Christians. Okay? And don't know nothing about the resurrection. Don't know nothing about the importance of the resurrection. Listen, you can't have fellowship with God without believing in the resurrection. Okay? It's hard to even say you walk with the Lord without believing in the resurrection. Here's what Paul said, and I'll close. Paul said this in Philippians 3 and 10. He says, that I might know him. How about that? That I might know him. That word know means I might be in a relationship with him. That I might know him. And the power of his resurrection. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. In the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Why? Because if you don't know God in the power of his resurrection, and if you don't understand the fellowship of his suffering, when you go in the ground, you're going to stay. Okay? If you want to come out of the ground, you have to come out of the ground with the power of his resurrection. Okay? You can't come out of the ground without being in a relationship with him, without understanding that without the resurrection of Christ, nobody's coming out of the ground. Nobody's coming out of the ground. Nobody's coming out of the ground. Bless you. Precious Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the power of the resurrection. We thank you for the teaching of the resurrection. We thank you, Father God, because we know that Jesus is the only way. He's the only way. And the Word of God says there's none other name under heaven whereby a man must be saved. And without the resurrection of Jesus Christ,